All right, welcome to Greek Club. It's on Tuesday, the 27th of January. And this week we are broadcasting high above Revelation Tower here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. So God has revealed himself through his word, and we are reading a letter to the Hebrews. And we are in the very end of chapter 1, and I believe we're going to pick up at verse 13. The author to the Hebrews is still making his case that Christ is superior to the angels. And so we're coming up on the very end of the string of Old Testament citations. By the way, you know, not only is the Greek of Hebrews, relatively speaking, difficult, but the structure of Hebrews is a real conundrum. And so you have these various proposals in the major commentaries about how this... The one thing that people apparently do kind of agree about is that Hebrews is a sermon. But how it's structured is a matter of some debate, and so we're not even going to touch on this other than to acknowledge that the debate is out there. But we are at 113, where the anonymous writer says, Pros tenade ton angelon, ere ken pata, kathu ek dexion mu, heosan tho, I always like that word, tho, tus ek thrusu hippopadion ton padon su. So again, he asks a question concerning, we I think suggested last time that pros plus the accusative might not just be to someone, but concerning whom. Tina is the interrogative pronoun. Concerning whom of the angels? Now, ere ken, anybody, this is from dictionary form? Lego, of all things. It goes Lego, ero, apon, ere ka. You might be able to expect that it's at least a perfect, because you can see the kappa, you know, at the end of the stem. So this is actually the perfect of Lego. Has he said, pata is a little adverb, and it can be variously translated, but here it means ever. It can mean before or formerly or something like that. And now we quote Psalm 110, which I think is the most oft-cited Old Testament verse in the New Testament, oddly enough, whether from verse 1 or from verse 4, I think, which is the Melchizedek passage, which, of course, is coming up in a few chapters. So, kathu is from kathemai, and it is a present imperative middle, second singular, sit. So the u ending is one of the middle second singular endings. Sit at my rights, dexion is just an idiom, the plural, sit at my right hand. And now we have heos, in the New Testament, often accompanied by on for no particular reason that I can see. And when you get that, then your verb in the clause will be a subjunctive. Okay? And so that's what tho is, which is one of my favorite Greek verbs. It is from, anybody? Right, tithimi. This is actually the aorist subjunctive active of tithimi.
Yeah. Right.
It might help to remember that the third principal part is etheka. You drop the augment off, and you've got theta, eta, and then you get tho and subjunctive, and Dr. Veltz could tell you completely how. Until I put or place the enemies of you as a footstool of the feet of you. Right. So fairly well-known citation from Psalm 110, 109. In the Septuagint. So again, God has never said this to any of the angels, right? And of course, this is the great passage that Christ himself uses in his controversies in Jerusalem, where he says, whose son is the Christ? And they say, David's son. Then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? And Jesus quotes Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and so forth. So, thus far, verse 13. So, any questions? We had some really nasty verb forms there. So, it can't but get easier, right? Wrong. Here we go. No, we're just getting started, Will. So, all right, verse 14. Hebrews 1:14. Uche pantes eisin lais orgeka pneumata, eis diakanean apostolamina diatus melantas kleronamein soterean. Now we ask a question now with a form of u, and so the expected answer is yes. And now we're going to, in a sense, positively identify who the angels are. All they are, I think it's normally translated, ministering spirits. So, laikur gekos is an adjective, and it agrees in, it would be a neuter plural nominative, as the predicate nominative is pneumata. They are all ministering spirits for service. Now, apostelomena is from, obviously, apostello, present participle, and it could be middle, but I think normally taken as passive, being sent. Okay? And the referent would be spirits, right? There's no article anywhere on the referent, and so you could take this either attributive or predicate position, but I think it works well to take it attributive. So ministering spirits who are sent or who are being sent for service or ministry because of or on account of the fixin to inherit salvation people, if I could say it that way. So tous melantos is acting like a substantive. It's from our friend mellow, which means to be about to do something, or in the Texas idiom, to be fixin' to do something, right? So on account of those who are about, and then mellow will typically take an infinitive, about to inherit salvation. Again, notice the sort of salvation historical and eschatological way of thinking and speaking. That is, you know, history is moving towards a goal, towards final salvation. So just to clean up that whole verse then, they, that is the angels, they all are ministering spirits who are being sent for service on account of those who are about to inherit salvation. Aren't they? Get that at the end to expect the answer yes. So. Okay, questions about the grammar or the syntax? That one wasn't too bad. All right, now we get, we have a short sentence. Verse 1 is one sentence, and then verses 2 through 4 is a long conditional sentence. Okay, we have an if-then as your basic structure. So we'll do verse 1, and then we'll buckle up and take a whack at verses 2, 3, and 4. So, dia tuta de perisoteros pros echein hemas tois akusthesin mepita pararuomen. So, on account of this, it is necessary. Okay, you see it is necessary. What other word is probably going to be lurking real close at hand? An infinitive. Right. The it of it is necessary will normally be an infinitive. Something is necessary, right? And lo and behold, we have prosekein, which, not surprisingly, is from proseko. It means to pay attention to, okay? And by the way, it can be pay attention to something positive or negative, okay? Here it's clearly in context positive. And since the infinitive has its own separate subject, that will be in the accusative case, right? And that's the pronoun hemas, the first-person plural accusative. So, on account of this, it is necessary. What is necessary? We to pay attention, or we to hold fast. For us to hold fast more abundantly, perisoteros, is necessary. And what are we going to hold fast to? Tois akusthesin. Okay, this is obviously from akuo, and it's an aorist participle passive, dative plural, probably neuter, I suppose. To the being heard things, the things which have been heard. It's interesting throughout the letter, you get these little hints, very vague hints about the audience, that I think most people are in agreement that both the writer to the Hebrews and the Hebrews themselves, none of them are eyewitnesses, right? So they've heard things from people, and they're passing on the tradition, and I think that's kind of what's going on there. And then to finish off that verse, we have a mepata, which by itself can simply mean lest, and then an odd form. I actually had to look this one up. This is from parareo. And believe it or not, the books at least parse it as an aorist subjunctive passive, first person plural. Now, it seems to have an active meaning. It means to drift away. It's a nautical term. Okay. And so the normal translation of that whole verse then would be something like this. The normal translation. I begged a lot of questions there, didn't I? On account of this, it is more abundantly necessary for us to hold fast or pay attention to the things which have been heard, lest we drift away. Okay? So, welcome to the letter to the Hebrews, probably the most hortatory document in the New Testament. I mean, you get a lot of hortatory subjunctives, and we're fixing to get some of them coming up, but it's kind of implied here. Okay, questions about, yeah, Will.
Do you think that sixth principal part of that verb is part of ru'ein?
That's exactly what it is. You, bing, 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 you get the morphology prize. Yeah, I had to look it up. It's para ru'ein. There's no theta. It's not para ru'thane or something like that. So that's exactly right. Yep. He can drive the bucket and he can parse. What more do you need, right? Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't going to bring it up. Hey, you parse this verb, you can shoot free throws. Okay. All right, anything else on verse 1? Okay. All right, let's take a mean swing then at this long sentence. And well, maybe we'll just, the if clause is pretty easy, and that's verse 2. So we'll just do that, and then we'll stop, and then we'll pick up after we analyze that. So verse 2, agar ha de angelon lalethes logos egeneta bebaios kai pasa paravasis kai parakoe elaben endikan misthapadazian, comma. All right. So we have a plus an indicative. Okay, somebody find, what's the main verb of the if clause? Somebody find it for me. Well, actually, there's two of them. First one is? Agenita, right, just our friend from Ginomai, the aorist indicative middle. And then the other verb is?
Elaben.
Good. Elaben, from Lambano. So two common verbs. So if something became and something received. That's the basic structure of this long if clause. And the subject of the first verb is, you see the article ha, third word in, and then you keep tracking till you get to logos. Okay? So if the word became firm, and let's modify word by putting a prepositional phrase and a participle in between the article and the noun itself. In other words, in attributive sandwich position. Lalethes is from laleo, another passive participle. So this would be aorist participle passive, masculine singular nominative. For if the word which had been spoken through angels or had been uttered through angels became bebaios, firm or established. Okay. And by the way, now... let's see. We may very well be referring here, you know, I didn't stop to look into it, I just assumed it, so I'll just go ahead and say it. We may be, well, no, I was thinking this is going to be referring to the giving of the law at Sinai, but maybe this is just the word of the gospel that they've heard, because later on we get this comparison with the Sinai revelation and the greater revelation in Christ. So I'll back up on that and say that maybe the logos here is just the revelation and the gospel, which is found in Christ. Now, how it was spoken through angels, I'm not sure, unless you think of the empty tomb or something like that.
Could it be an Old Testament reference?
Well, see, that's what I was sort of thinking, Andy. I was just assuming it was an Old Testament reference, but yeah. I guess I'm just, on that exegetical point, I'm not sure. You'd have to kind of track out the grammar and see how it runs. So, all right, anyway, that's the first clause of the if part of the sentence. And then the second one, Kai, we have every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Every normal person has to look up misthapadazion. It's actually from a combination of misthas, which means wage, and it's from apodidomi, which means to repay. So a repaid wage. So if that's the case, if the word became certain and you disobey it and you get a just recompense, if that's the case, then the apodosis, or the then clause of the sentence, asks a question. How shall we escape? The writer to the Hebrews is actually pretty tough. I mean, it's pretty, you know, he's afraid that the people are drifting away. And so he holds out both law and gospel, as we would say, right? So, good. Questions about verse 2? Any of the forms or again, it's just an A plus two aorists for the kind of the backbone of that clause. Okay, then we'll pick up verses 3 and 4. This is a little more complicated. Pos hemes ek fuxamatha telekautes a melesantes soterias hetes arkein labuza lalestai diatu kiru hypaton akusanton es hemas ebebaiothe sin epi martiruntas tu theu semeois te kai terazin kai poikilais dynamazin kai pneumatas hageo merismois kata tain autu thelizen. All right. There is one main verb, and it is ek fuxamatha at the very beginning. It's from ek fugo. It's a future. Boy, is this deponent? Is it ek fugomai? How will we escape? It parses as a future indicative middle, but it's always translated. To be honest, I forgot to look it up. So we'll just pretend that it has an active voice meaning, because I think it does. How will we escape? Fugo by itself means to flee, right? It's actually, you get that in elementary Greek, I think, in the vocab. So how will we flee? And now we have to link that up with amelesantes, which is a participle from ameleo, which means to neglect or be unconcerned about something. And guess what? Ameleo takes a genitive direct object, not accusative. And that explains telekautes soterias. Telekautes is just an adjective. It means so great or such a great thing. And so soterias, the genitive there, is actually the direct object of the participle. Okay. And it's often taken, this isn't quite as common as some of the predicate participle translations, but it's often taken as conditional, if. Therefore, it doesn't say therefore, how will we escape if we are unconcerned about, or if we neglect, so great a salvation? Now, let's describe the salvation with a relative clause. Hetis is just from hostis. And hostis is hos and tis, and remember that both halves of it pars. So this is actually the feminine singular nominative of hostis, hetis. And normally just translated which, or sometimes emphatically which indeed, or something like that. So which. Now, this is difficult, and I had to actually refresh my memory. Which literally receiving a beginning to be spoken through the Lord. I can just do it woodenly. Now, the lexicon helped me out here. Again, I had forgotten precisely how this works. Lambano can be used in idioms for the passive voice of the cognate verb of the noun that's used with it. Yeah. So what you've really got here is you have to key off on arcane. It's kind of a classical idiom, apparently. Okay. And so labusa arcane means being begun. It's as if the verb is archomai. Or it's not archomai, but archo. And in the passive voice. Now, if you don't believe me, look it up in BDAG. And in, like, Alford or one of the great older commentators. So, which, after being begun to be spoken through the Lord by those who heard unto us, ebebiothe, was confirmed. And that's a pretty nice form because you can see the temporal augment. It's from bebaiao, which is, we've had the adjective bebaios, certain or established up above. So how will we, emphatic, escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which after being begun to be spoken through the Lord, by those who heard, was established unto us? And he's not done yet. Now he wants to throw in a genitive absolute. Right? Sin epi martireo. It means to testify. I don't know why you have to put all that stuff on the front, but you do. And God is the referent. While God was testifying, if we take it like that, okay? And now we have a bunch of datives. Dative of means. How was God testifying? By means of signs. Remember, te, see the little te after semeois is postpositive. So in order to translate, you put it in front of the word. So, but, and it's in a string. We've got te, kai, kai, kai. So by means of signs and wonders and various powers, poi, kilais is an adjective that means various or varied. Various powers and of the Holy Spirit merismois, distributions, apportionings, or something like that, according to the of him will, according to his will. So it's really interesting. The writer actually pulls out all the stops here. He not only calls it so great a salvation, but he then describes it, which, okay, the beginning was made when things were spoken by the Lord, but now those who heard, that ear witnesses, if I can say it that way, the ear witnesses testified to them, and as that was happening in their early Christian experience, God was also bearing witness by miracles, right? And so how can we possibly escape if we neglect that greatest salvation? So that's the exhortation. That's implied in this question. How will we escape? All right? See, that wasn't so bad. I mean, we should move on to like Plato or something. So, yeah, right. I won't know how anything is spelled. Okay. All right. And now we get, maybe we should stop here. We've got just 1 minute. But in verse 5, he goes back to the angels. And showing from Psalm 8 that all things were not made subject to the angels, but to the Son of Man, right? And he reads Psalm 8 kind of typologically, which is why Dr. Seleska likes Hebrews, he told me the other day, which brings up the question of Hebrew Club, right? Which is Thursday and lectionary lunch tomorrow here in the, what is this, the Tower of Revelation here at Concordia Seminary. So, all right, thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, look at this.
Yep.